Clearly, can you just declare, say, I'm being filled with knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. Let's say this, I'm praying in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him by my requests. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm always increasing the knowledge of God. Let's say it again. I am praying in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all my requests. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm always increasing the knowledge of God. Now, why did I go into that? That's the little one I just told us to say now. Altering what we normally recite from Colossians chapter 1. The reason is just to emphasize to us again that it is not every request that people make that are pleasing to God. You may get answers to your prayers. It does not mean you requested for the right thing. Let me just say something to you again as Christians. We must learn, we must be careful to obey that which is written. We must order our lives according to what is written in the scripture. Let's not make a habit out of experience. Let's not make doctrines out of people's personal experiences. We must make our doctrines, base our doctrines on the word of God. It is that which the scriptures talk about, all right? Now, why did I say this? People may tell you that they prayed for this and they got it. They now make it seem as if that is proof that God wanted them to have it. I'm saying to us again today, that's no proof. The fact that God gave you something does not mean that's exactly what He wants you to have. There's something that's happened to me over the last, in recent times, because of more understanding. You know, as I teach, I also learn. All right, as I meditate, I consider and I get to know things. These days, I'm not as confident as I used to be in saying that this is exactly what God wants us to do. What I'm more confident in now is to see that this is as much of what God wants us to do that we have allowed Him to do. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Because many times people say that God spoke to me. Don't be impressed. The issue is that that was what you could hear. I want you to understand that. Now, that's how it is. No, it scares me these days. So these days, my prayers have really changed when I'm praying about my life, when I'm praying about the ministry and stuff like that. That is, it is not what the fact that God gave us something does not mean that's what He wants us to have. I'm explaining this again because we said, I am pleasing Him by my requests. Solomon was given an open check, and he asked God for something, and God was impressed. God said, ask me for anything. This man could have asked for long life, and God was impressed that he did not have asked for long life. This man could have asked for the lives of his enemies. God was impressed that that was one thing he did not ask for. This man could have asked for riches and honor and glory and all of those things. And God said, this man, he didn't ask for this. I am impressed. If he had asked for those things, he would have gotten them. But he didn't ask for them, and God was impressed with what he asked for. And let me say it again. It is not only what you ask for that God gives to you. Many things you do not ask for, God will give them to you if you ask for the right things. And that's why the Lord Jesus taught us, He said, seek first in the book of Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And every other thing will be added. And I've been talking about kingdom-minded, kingdom-centered praying. That is, bear it in mind, many of the things that God will give you in life are not the things that you ask for. It is when you ask for the right things in prayer that you ask for, you will get those things that, you know, you didn't ask for. If you only get the things you ask for, you have a very long prayer list ahead of you. Because there are many things you need, you don't know. So you can't ask for them. But the Lord says, don't worry about those things. Just pray about the right things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And every other thing will be added to you. So Solomon said to God, give me wisdom. Let me execute, let me bring glory by this my reign upon the kingdom that is yours. Let me be a blessing to the great people that you have called your own. I want my life to count as I sit upon the throne of my Father. And God said, that's all you're going to ask for. He said, that will be enough for me. And God said, what I'm going to do now is to give you the things you did not ask for. Prayer requests, there are some that that please God. There are some that don't please Him. The fact that God gave you something does not mean He's happy that you asked for it. That's what we're trying to emphasize. So that's why we say we are pleasing God in all our requests. How do we ask for the things that are pleasing to God? It is simple. We learn. It is simple. We learn. That's why we have this school of prayer. It is a school because we are learning. All right? That's how we get it. We keep on learning. Even Solomon that we talk about, how did Solomon get to the point where he was able to make a request and it was pleasing to God? It wasn't because he was inherently good in himself. That's not the issue. It was because the man learned. He learned. Go and read the book of Proverbs. The first about 8 chapters of Proverbs were not the Proverbs of Solomon. They were the Proverbs of David that were taught to Solomon. If you read in between the lines, you see it there. That is, David taught his son. David took time out after observing the experiences of his life, the mistakes, the things that he had done wrong with Adonijah, with Absalom, all right? With Amnon, you understand? So there are a number of them, all right, those boys. David observed the mistakes that he made in their lives, and he said, I mustn't do that with Solomon. So the son of his old age, he looked at Solomon and began to teach him. So Solomon will tell you that when I was a little boy, my father said this to me. And what did the father say to him? Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. He said, exalt her and she will promote you. A crown of glory she will deliver unto you and an ornament of grace. He said, long life is in her right hand. And he was taught all of these things since he was small. He understood all of this. And then one day God came to him and said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, my father said, ask for wisdom. My father said, don't ask for any other thing. Don't ask for money. Don't ask for long life. Don't ask for the lives of your enemy. Don't ask for for riches. Don't ask for any of those things. Just ask for wisdom. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. So what you find when God came to Solomon was not a man who was very smart in himself. It was a man who had been taught, who obeyed the instructions that was given to him by his father. And by that, he pleased God by the request that he made. What am I going to say? What we do as Christians is to learn. God is not impressed with smart people. God is impressed with those who are able to be corrected. God is not impressed with those who say, I know everything. It is those who, when I teach them, they hear and they obey what I have said. I said to us before, God was never really, really angry with Saul. When Saul made a mistake the first time and he was corrected. You know, if you look at it, that was not what annoyed God. He said, go there, do this, do that. Saul did not do it. What upset the Lord so that he rejected him and placed his whole family under a curse was that when the man came, all right, when Samuel, the prophet, came, he said to him, you have not done what you were told to do. Saul insisted, I have done what I was told to do. And God said, you have rejected the word of the Lord. That word was a word of correction. That word was a word of instruction that was teaching him what he had done wrong. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? So God is not saying that we should know everything by ourselves. That's not his matter. I must know everything. No, it is that whatever I teach you, obey it. When I show you a revelation from the scriptures, learn something new from it and operate your life by that new thing that you are learning. So Solomon was like every other person, I want to assume. He wanted money. He wanted long life. But the father said, don't worry. These are not the things that should be paramount in your heart. In the same manner, we are here every time we are learning. For example, we said there are prayer points that the Lord Jesus said we shouldn't have. For some time, you can have it until you learn that truth. What are the prayer points that shouldn't be paramount in your mind? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? Once we hear these kind of teachings, it should go away from your heart. Then you go back and say, what should I be praying for? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added to you. So the question therefore should be, how do I pray and my prayer will be seeking the kingdom of God? How do I pray and I will be seeking his righteousness? It's a very simple thing. God is not expecting you to be smart. He just says, follow the instruction that I have given. You know, I had a discussion with some of my brethren today. We're talking about, just because it happened this afternoon, so let me just use it, just discuss a bit. We're talking about vows. You know, somebody asked a simple question. He said that, is it childish for Christians to make vows to God? Are you hearing this? When they want something. Of course, it was a chat. So I just said, yes, it is very childish that God doesn't want your vows as long as your vow, that is, unless your vow is a vow of, I will say it is you. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if it's something that I say, God, when you do this, I will do this so as to demonstrate that it was you. I don't know whether you're catching that. So you see, I said, listen, the only vow you can make as a Christian, all right, is that you vow. Now, there's something I want to teach today, all right? Everything I've said so far is an introduction. Amen? Now, I'll soon get back to what I want to teach. But now I'm about to take a digression. You know what Kenegin said? He said people get as blessed from those side trips as the main thing anyway. So we'll just take that digression. So I'm trying to bring a message to three now. So I've had an introduction. I have a main thing I plan to do today and say. We'll still do and say them. And then I want to take a digression now quickly because I was talking about learning and the discussion I had with my brethren today, and it would be a blessing to us if I just explain it for 5 minutes thereabout. So this is a digression on vows. So somebody said that, is it right for a Christian to vow? She said, is it childish? And two of us said, yes. I was the first to answer. I said, yes, a Christian shouldn't make any vow to the Lord when they want to ask him for something. I'm going to discuss that for a few minutes because it will bless a lot of people. Now, why shouldn't they do that? A number of reasons. Number one is that when Jesus taught us to pray, he never said do it. And in fact, he categorically said, the way you pray is to ask in my name. So I said to people that unless, and even if in the Psalms, when the Bible says pay your vows to the Lord, if you go and read it in between the lines, I don't have time to explain it now. What David actually said, the vows were vows of thanksgiving. What I mean is this. You look at Jacob. Jacob prayed a prayer that, Lord, I am going out. If you watch over me and all of that, a tenth of anything that you give to me, I will give back to you. Just for your information, how did he do it? Have you ever asked yourself how he did it? In case you never asked, I will answer it today. What he did was that if on that his trip, he had about 50,000 sheep when he was coming back. He took 5,000, slaughtered them in one day, all right, and burnt all of them in a heap. That was what Jacob did as payment, all right? Now, I want to bring out an issue here. What they were actually doing was acknowledging that he was the one. They were just acknowledging the source. They were not trying to do something for God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? All right? Because Christians, sometimes this is where the mistake we make. Say, Lord, if you give me this, if you do this for me, when I'm promoted at work, I will give, let's say, my church 50,000 naira. Or I will buy a car and dash to a man of God or something like that. You know, we do those things as if we are striking a deal with the Lord. Now, let me say that to you. It is unnecessary. The only vow you are supposed, the vow is the vow of thanksgiving. That is, for example, Lord, when you do this, I will give a testimony in church. It's just as good. I will say that you did it for me, that I prayed and you answered. That's all God wants. People say, but Hannah vowed that he would give her first son. First, let me just say something to you. Hannah did not have, which is what I described my brethren had. I said, you see, you must understand that the principle of answered prayers under the old covenant, and you see that's what I kind of want to teach about today, all right, is different from that under the new. Under the new covenant, the Lord Jesus said something straight to us. The Father himself loves you. I am not saying to you that when you pray, all right, I will even ask the Father on your behalf. Just pray in my name and you will get anything that you want. Don't add anything to it. I'm adding my own words now. Don't say, God, when you do this, God said, you don't understand. The premise upon which I am answering you is that my son said, has said, this is my friend. Are you getting my point? I am answering you because you were brought here by my son, Jesus. So you ask in his name, and then your prayers are answered. Don't add anything to it, because when you do, you are taking away. You must understand that. Once you add to it, you are taking away from the potency of that name. And that's why we talk about it all the time, that Christians should learn how to pray in the name of Jesus. Very important. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to say here. And then you must understand something, that you say sometimes, maybe under the old covenant, some people did it. Then look at it totally. Jephthah did it, right? And God proved to Jephthah it was a bad idea. How did he prove to Jephthah? Jephthah said, once you give me victory, anything that comes to me, I will sacrifice to you. Which was a very bad idea. The Bible, if you go and read it, there was already what God called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There were things that were accepted to God, things that were not accepted. What Jephthah was doing was idolatry. And he suffered for it. You must understand that there are many spiritual principles that keep on saying that we operate. And those spiritual principles, they are principles of spiritual realm, but they are not Christian principles. Any principle that does not pass through, that is not interpreted through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is not valid for you. I hope you are getting my point. Once it is not, it doesn't pass through and is not interpreted through the principles of grace, which is available by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, it's not valid for you. That's what people don't realize. Okay? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So, under the old covenant, some people vowed. It doesn't mean you should. Now, why I said that is this. Jephthah made that mistake also. Instead of him to settle down and say, what did the word of God at that time that they had, what did it say about how to give God thanks? He created his own and said, anything that comes, I will give to you. Even if it's my horse. Now, I'm adding the word, if it's my horse. Meanwhile, God never accepted horses as sacrifices. And the thing that came was his daughter, which God never said they should give as sacrifices. It burnt him. What was the reason? Because he opened his mouth and vowed, but not according to the word of God. What am I saying? This is the word of God for us Christians. The only you are not allowed to vow any vow to God. I know the teaching is out there. It's very popular. Big men preach it, small men preach it. Books have written on it. The miracle of the vow. People have said it. One brother said, if that is the case, one brother told me, he said, if that's the case, I also have the miracle of the rosary to testify about. Yes, he said. No, he said it now. If that is the case. That, so let's not talk experiences. Let's talk about what is written. What is in the scriptures. He was trying to explain to me that, listen, we are not going to build doctrine on experience. That there was a time he prayed and he said the only way he's going to get his prayer done is Virgin Mary. And he prayed through her and he had an answer. And don't let me go to, the Muslims have answers. So. You think those, what we call limam, I don't know what they call them, that these imams that do things, they get answers. We don't discuss those things as believers. We discuss what is recorded in the scriptures. One of the things that my brethren said, I'm just sharing them with God without discussion this afternoon, is somebody said, there was something I was supposed to do. I had not done it. I now pray to God that I will do this when you do this. I said, no, you can't do that. I said, because if you know something is right as a believer, whether God is doing something for you or is not doing anything for you, you must pursue that one. And in the scriptures like that, it's called the love of righteousness. He said, because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. It's called the love of righteousness. The love of righteousness means that if I know something to be right, I pursue it whether God is giving me something or is not giving me anything. I hope I'm clear. Listen, I'll tell you the truth. What you need to do every time is to vow to thank God, which is something you make a habit. What are your vows as a believer? There is no vow you can make to God you did not make the day you gave your life to Christ. Did you hear what I said? There's something those days they used to teach, the Reverend Sisters used to teach them as Lent, principles of Lent. That when you want to fast, you know what they call Lenten season? Yeah, that's the Christian version. You know, everybody has his own fasting season. Muslims have theirs, Christians have theirs. All right? All of them from the same root, okay? It's true, they all come from the same place. Okay. So during Lenten season, Christians are supposed to fast food, but then there's a way some Reverend Sisters, some Catholic nuns teach, when we were young, those they used to teach, that you can fast a bad habit. Now, nothing wrong with fasting a bad habit. What it means is that you stop a bad habit during Lent. But my question was that, do we resume it after Lent? That was my question. I understand. Maybe some will say that, no, you use the period of Lent to strengthen your spiritual energy, then you stop your bad habit. But I didn't like the concept that your fasting should not be food, it should be a bad habit. But if you want to fast, in quote, fast. The fasting I even know as a believer now is different. You understand my own level of fasting. But then to tell me to fast a bad habit, I never understood. The concept is, now my reason is this. If it's bad, it is bad. Do you follow my point? I remember my sister that time was taught that you can stop lying during Lent. I said, so what do you do after Lent? You start lying again? No. If lying is bad. We don't lie. Lent or no Lent. Do you get what I'm trying to explain here? That is why if something is good, make it a habit. Don't tie it to a vow. God, will you do this for me? I will do that. No. No. So as believers, like I said, I just want to drop it. It's a discussion I had this afternoon with my brethren, and I believe it will help some people. How should a Christian pray? Pray in the name of Jesus. How should a Christian pray? Tell God, do this for me. You know you are my God. I have no other God. But that when you do it, this is a vow of a believer. I will sing aloud that you are the one that did it. Listen, anything in the name of Jesus can't get out of God for you. There's nothing that will get it for you. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll start obeying you. God said, don't obey me, I will kill you. Do you know what I'm trying to say? No, we don't. You know, we think that God is our friend. I discussed with him. One day, we're young that time, or the days of foolishness. I wasn't what I did the foolishness, though. It was some of my friends. I was some of my friends, and they were, one particular young woman was there. And she was talking about another of their friends who has such a close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. That girl is so close. She's so aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's when you hear her say that, the Holy Spirit is talking to her. She'll say, Holy Spirit, what? You tell me to do that? How can I tell me to do that kind of thing? No, I'm not doing it. I like that your laughter. It shows you appreciate the foolishness. And some people say that is close fellowship. Are you getting my point? God in heaven is telling you something. He said, we are so close. If my son does that, do you understand my point? My son says to me, Daddy, how can you tell him to that kind of thing? What are you talking about? Me, I can't. Oh! The Lord is good. If my son wouldn't dare it, how close am I going to say I became with God or the Holy Spirit that will now say it is fellowship? That kind of fellowship is bad fellowship. You are smoking Indian hemp in that congregation. That is not fellowship with the Holy Spirit at all. Are you getting my point? You are supposed to have reverence. If you are sure it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, you bow your head, put your hands together, and start trembling small. Speak, Lord, thy servant listeneth. Jesus, with all the understanding of the Holy Spirit, you saw the way he handled the garden. I praise you, O God, that you have hidden these things from... That's how I used to talk to the Father. I didn't say, you know me and Father, we are so close. When I see him, I say, Pale, what's going on there? And you're talking about... He didn't dare that. You know what I'm talking about? God is not your friend in that regard. Are you getting my point? He's your father. He's not your business partner when you negotiate. Lord, you know what? You're going to bless me like this. When you bless me like this, I will obey the call to ministry. Until that time, you're on your own. And you're talking to God in heaven. Oh, Lord, may God punish you only small so you can recover quickly. Because if he does the big one, he won't like it though. People, know why I'm emphasizing this? I was listening to David Paulson, so one more of his messages on the five covenants. He explained what a covenant is. A covenant is not a discussion. It's not a contract. He said God has made the covenant. You just come, you accept it. If you don't like it, you walk away. It is not that you start making a deal with the Lord. Lord, you know you do this, I will do that. No. God says, I have done this. I have sent my only begotten Son. He has died on the cross. He has, by the power of his blood, bought you. Do you get my point? You are now my own property. Do you know what they call property? Properties don't talk. So I give the instructions, you obey them. We don't make deals. Christians must get that point. In Christianity, there are no deals. People say, I've made a vow with God, I will give, he will prosper me. Nonsense. God said, you can give, and I impoverish you. You know? What is the purpose? Okay. I want to create my own word. Poverty you are looking for. Yes, as impoverished. There is no deal. There is no deal. Like I give, you multiply it back. There is no such deal in true Christianity. He said, wouldn't Christians prosper? He has already made a covenant of prosperity, which was enacted not based on your giving, but based on the death of Jesus on the cross. If you believe it, accept it. Are you getting my point? You believe it, you take it. I hear Christians say that what I now do is that I will start giving, then God will start multiplying. Nothing like that. Anything you want from him, you ask. Anything he sends to you, you ask how it is supposed to be administered. And you'll understand it by training, by instructions in righteousness. That's how it is. You don't make any deal. How can your son make a deal with you? Think about it for a moment. So that if you buy me a new computer, I'll wash your car every day. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. What should he do if he needs a new computer? He asks. And I'll say, all right, you want a new computer? No problem. You will get a new computer. That's Christianity. Please, let's take it. In fact, you know, I started this by seeing a discussion my brethren and I had. Somebody said, is it childhood? Is it a baby thing? Is it, which word now? Yeah, is it childish for a Christian to do that? And I repeat my answer now. Yes, it is. There was a time we did such things. But understanding that has shown us that that's not the way it's supposed to be. This is a vow of Christians. One died for all. That those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Your vow is that vow. Every day you do what is right. If you have a request from God, you ask him straightforward in the power of the name of Jesus, and he gives you an answer because Jesus has downloaded all the answers through his sacrifice on the cross. I always like to add this because it's a very important balance. And why I keep on putting this balance is because of the misunderstanding that people had when I would talk like this before. They thought I was saying Christians don't need to give. I always like to add it, I never said so. What Christians do, they are like their Father in heaven. They do good works. Are you getting my point? They always do that which is right. They pursue it. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your Heavenly Father is a giver, so you must be a giver. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those who don't give, either they don't know that they have been washed from their sins, or they have too much fear of tomorrow. And those sins are the opposites of faith. And when their faith is not active, they cannot download the blessings that God has released to them in Christ Jesus. So Christians do good works, and they do them continually. They make the doing of good works a habit. They make it a habit. It's never tied to what they are going to get. You understand? They don't tie it to how that's the method by which I get something from God. They say supplies don't answer to prayer. He has answers only to seed. And I say it's not so. Ask and you shall receive. Jesus said that your joy may be full. That's the word of the Lord Jesus. Nobody can take anything away from that. I hope you got my point. Now, so how do we get things from the Lord? There's something I'm trying to bring out today, which is my main message. Initially, I gave an introduction, all right, on making the right requests. And remember, I emphasize again that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we shouldn't worry about any other thing. But there's something I want to bring out today, and we're going to do something as part of our message for today. Now, I want you to understand something briefly about the basis of answered prayers, like we said earlier. I said something before. There is nothing, now listen to this, there is nothing, 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 that you can ever go through today that God did not know about ahead of time. There is nothing that you may ever need that the scriptures haven't spoken specifically about. I want to understand a particular principle here. The Bible says something. That's what the Bible calls our inheritance. Our inheritance. That inheritance is something that is not, is very vast. I cannot say I can easily explain it. But there is what is called the inheritance of a believer. And Jesus died to obtain that inheritance for you and for me. It's important to understand that. What is that inheritance? It is a summary of every blessing that God ever wanted to or can release into your life. The inheritance is the deliverance of God from sin. The inheritance is supernatural supplies in life. Inheritance is the grace of God to walk successfully in life. The inheritance is the nature of God being poured into you. The inheritance is everything that God ever wanted to give you. And those things were stored up in heaven. And then for you to get your portion of it, Jesus died and paid. And that's what we'll keep on talking about. You are not the one that is working for it. Jesus already worked for it. The word salvation, which in English, all right, we just call salvation. If you ever read Bible commentaries in Greek, like Paul would say, is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Now, if you read, you know, that word, salvation, is soteria in the Greek. And it's beyond what you and I call salvation. It's not just salvation from sin. It involves healing. Do you get my point? It involves deliverance. It involves all forms of wholeness that anybody may ever desire. That's salvation. Now, I'm today equating it with our inheritance. Salvation, therefore, is our ability to receive the inheritance that God prepared for us. And the Bible says that one is stored up in heaven. Now, I'm going somewhere. How was that inheritance prepared? That's what I'm trying to explain. Inheritance is God's plan. Your inheritance is God's will. Now, there's another part of the inheritance which I want to talk about today. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that it's already prepared. When Jesus was on earth, I want you to get one point. And in his body, I think till today, not just on earth. All right? Because he's still living. Amen? He still has a body. Amen? Amen? He can still pray for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is a matter of fact. Okay? You must understand that Jesus uttered prayers for you and for me. That's where I'm going. I want to quickly describe a part of the inheritance of the believer that's written in the scriptures. That is in the Psalms. In the Psalms. I want to talk about the Psalms. The Psalms are known as the songbook of Israel. But actually, they are prophetic words that were written about the Lord Jesus Christ inside there. Many times, David will speak about his troubles. The fact is that the man was not speaking about his troubles. He was prophesying, listen to this, about your troubles. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. He wasn't speaking about his troubles. He was actually prophesying about the trouble that one of the children of God will go through later in life. That's why you find out that the Lord Jesus will say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And David said it long ago. You must understand that. They will talk about my enemies encompass me round about. And the Lord Jesus was going to experience that at a particular point in time. David will say something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I keep on saying something. Anytime a man says something like, I shall not want, it means around him, I hope you get what I'm saying. It looks like want is coming. So it's reminding the situation. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't even try it. Now, please follow this. Now, when you read the book of Psalms, actually, many of the things you read are the prayers. Now, that's another part of it I want to bring forth. That the Lord Jesus prayed for you and for me. This is how Jesus prays for you. He prays for you as if he is the one passing through it. When Jesus is praying for us, his prayer, because you are the body of Christ. So when you are suffering, the Bible says he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. So when you hurt, he says, Father, behold the hurt in my soul. Not, can you see, my daughter is hurting or my son is hurting. No, it is Jesus that is, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. I pray you can connect with this. So anytime you see it in the scriptures, you're in the book of Psalms especially, it was the Lord Jesus praying. I'm talking about inheritance. As a Christian, what belongs to us as believers? When the Lord Jesus was praying, the prayers he prayed, you know, for a long time, you hear that there he prayed all night. And I used to wonder, that why was it that they didn't bother telling us what he said all night? That this is great disservice to Christianity. Are you going to... I don't know whether you get my point. That if only they had bothered to tell us what he said all night, and we will not know what to say all night. I've learned these days not to say, this was never told us. Just say, I don't know this. I have not discovered it from the scriptures. Because as people say that some secret things belong to God. Listen, some things are secret as long as you don't know them. The day God reveals it to you, it's no longer what? Secret. So the fact that these things that are revealed are for our children, the ones that are secret to you now, one day will be revealed to somebody else. I told you before, if you go and listen to our series, Learning from Moses, inspired by Isaac, Gospel According to Ruth, anytime I take one of these Old Testament, any of these old saints that we read about under the law and the prophets, when I take their lives, I always explain, I'm not looking at Moses. Moses is none of my business. I'm not looking at Isaac. Isaac is none of my business. I don't care about Ruth. Ruth is none of my business. What do I care about? There were 30 years of the life of Jesus that we knew next to nothing about, apart from a single experience that happened at the age of 12 in the temple. So we assume that those are the silent years, nothing was said about them. Later on, I found from the scriptures, it's not true. The truth is that everything that we needed to know about those days was recorded. How? It was recorded in the life of Moses. It was recorded in the life of Isaac. So if you want to know how Jesus lived until he got to the point where the Bible, where the Lord said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased. Just look at every good thing in the life of Moses, every good thing in the life of Isaac, every good thing in the life of anybody that's recorded in that Hebrews chapter 11. I hope you're getting my point. Some things we think they are hidden, they're actually there. Yet that we have not seen them yet. So please, let me recommend again, go and listen to the Learning from Moses series. Because I kept on explaining that thing inside there. That we are not learning really from Moses. We are using the life of Moses to discover a trait about the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the matter of prayer. The same principle I found out applies to the prayers of the Lord Jesus. He prayed all night. I used to wonder, what was he saying? Was he praying in other tongues? It's possible. I don't know. But I doubt. You know why he didn't have to pray in other tongues? Because I believe he had the depth of understanding. He had the depth of revelation. He knew what to say. He didn't have to say things he didn't understand. When he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you. That's, he was talking about Peter now. That your faith will not fail. And when you have been converted, strengthen your brethren. There was something he said. There were scriptures he uttered. For the life of Peter. He didn't have to pray. He knew, even if he said like, he would know the meaning. So what is the issue? To him, it was not an unknown tongue at all. Are you getting my point? So it was unnecessary. I'm going somewhere. What am I going to say? Let's get it like this. There is no problem in your life today that the Lord Jesus hasn't spent time praying about. There's none. Anytime you see something in the book of Psalms, for example, he will say, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Appears like a request, right? This is what I'm telling you today. It was a request when he said it. But God has answered him. I hope you're getting my point. That is why if you turn your heart to know his ways and know his paths, once you open your heart, the answer that God had given the Lord Jesus flows into your life automatically. That's why he said, don't worry about these things. You know what he tried to say in effect? I have prayed about them already. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm trying to say. That's what they call the inheritance of believers. And that's why we pray simply in the name of Jesus and we forget things. Because all we are saying is that whatever Jesus said about this matter, you know, he said it about me. He said it on my behalf. Whatever it is that the Lord Jesus said about the situation. And that's why, as believers, we can take the word of God as it is written, declare simply and say that in his mind. Why? Because we are convinced the Lord Jesus has already collected that thing for us. It's already my portion. Many of the things we find in the book of Psalms, in fact, I first got this understanding years ago, that many of them, God, they don't pray like this. Just claim it. Let me give my point. Let me give an example. For example, he said in verse 5, lead me in your truth. Okay, that's Psalm 25. All right, we'll get to it in a moment. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all day. Like, for example, in verse 7, he says something like this. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgression. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Now, that's a request. I'm going to explain to you, a Christian has no business now making a request that God, don't remember the sins of my youth. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Why? Because he cannot. Why can't he? Because Jesus already prayed this prayer and it has become effective. So if I have to get there, I'll say, Lord, you see, oh, as for the sins of my youth, I know you have forgotten. Thank you. Oh, I pray you understand what I'm going to say. When you read all of, we may read it. We'll read it together, you understand? But I want us to read it from a perspective of he has answered it. Christians often pray like we pray until God is persuaded. You cannot persuade him more than he's already persuaded. I hope you get my point. You know, Jesus said something. The Lord was speaking once to Jeremiah in chapter 15, one of my favorite verses of the scriptures. He said, even if Samuel and Moses were to pray about this matter, I wouldn't even hear. Now, I like that because it tells me that Samuel and Moses were not the same level of prayer warrior as Jeremiah. And Jeremiah knew. There was no confusion. I hope you are getting my point. That's why the Lord could tell Jeremiah like that. Say, what are you saying? What are you saying? If you like, go and wake Moses up. Wake Samuel up. Two of them conniving to agree. To join their hands and pray. And say, whatever we shall bind, I still will not agree. You know that's what God said? What does that tell you? Moses and Samuel had some capacity to pray that Jeremiah did not understand. Now, so we now know that ability to get answers to prayer is relative, right? It's true or false? So you are afraid to agree. Ability to get answers to prayer is relative. Some people have more power than others. Am I lying? It's in the Bible like that. I'm not the one that said it. Now, this is now the issue. Who has more power, Moses and Samuel or Jesus Christ? So anything Moses and Samuel can pray about, Jesus can double pray about. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. If God refused to answer Jesus about anything, who will he answer? I hope I'm clear now. Yes. And I'm saying, that is why you and me as believers, that's what equated us before God. It's Jesus that equated everybody. Otherwise, we'll have been very, very unequal. But what happens is that once we approach him in the power of the name of Jesus, every man is equal. Every man, woman, boy, girl, adult, child, once you come in the name of Jesus, you are no longer being answered because of you. You are being answered because of that one who is more powerful than Moses, more powerful than Samuel, and the two of them combined. You are being answered by somebody more powerful than even John the Baptist. That is on the basis of somebody more powerful. So if you come and pray in the name of Jesus, you are not the one praying. They have now removed you from there. They have now brought somebody else more powerful than you, and they put him on that seat. And when the Lord is answering you, he's not answering you. I hope my theology is not too difficult this afternoon. The Lord is not answering you. Who are you? He doesn't know you from anywhere. In quotes. He's answering somebody who is more powerful when it comes to prayer warring than anybody else. And that is why I tell Christians all the time, make sure you go armed in his name. Don't go with anything. Say, God, though, you know I have vowed a vow to you. Once you do it like this, your own portion is waiting. Thank you. It sounds very ridiculous, right? Say, God, don't worry. Once you just sign the check, I will give you. You know, it's a Nigerian mentality. Okay, sorry. I withdraw that statement. It's an old Nigerian mentality. It's not a new Nigerian mentality. In Jesus' name, that mentality is gone. Somebody say amen properly.
Amen.
That mentality is gone. Anybody that doesn't want to leave it will go with it. Yes. If you're a high-powered government official in Nigeria, the head of state will just wake up and just sack you. So anybody who will not agree to go, to leave it, he will go with it. Say amen again.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I'm not trying to say that. That does this corrupt my mindset. Say, God, when you say to me, I kick you back your own portion. Give me 100 million. Don't worry, 200 million. We'll share it. And God is looking like, okay, what if I just collect the whole money for myself and I don't give you anyone? Say, God, how can you do like that? Wait a minute, good job. The Lord is good. Say, don't promise God any kickback, all right? It's unnecessary. What did I say? It's unnecessary. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. What he wants is thanksgiving. What he wants is acknowledgement. He wants you to declare boldly, it is of the Lord's mercies that I received this thing that I received. That's what he wants. Once you can do that, and you do that consistently, I'm digressing again just for a few seconds. That's why anytime you eat, thank God from the bottom of your heart. Don't ever imagine that it's because there's money in the bank. Don't ever imagine it's because you have a good degree and you do a good job and you do good business, you are smart. Anytime you see food, handle it. It's a sign that the Lord gave us. Never push food down your throat without saying thank you. And listen to me, if you do that, you will never lack in this life. That's not a joke. Teach that to your children, they will never be poor in life. That is, they recognize that this food is a gift from God. It's not because daddy is smart, it's not because mommy works, it is because God sent it. If they recognize that, and you let them grow up with it, so that when they see food, the first thing that comes from their heart is, Lord, thank you for another one. You know, the mommy just came back from ShopRite, all right? They just finished shopping, and they buy bread from there. They don't connect the bread with ShopRite or with money or with food or with you or with anything, but with God. If they grow up like that, hear ye the truth. If they are dropped in the center of the Sahara Desert, food will grow from inside the sand for them. Because the God that supplies them food is also there in the Sahara Desert. That's why, look, the vow we Christians need is to know how to say thank you. We don't need the vow of God, though. You give me a new car, I will give you the spare tire. I'm very, very serious. We don't need it. The main vow for the Christian, which we must all learn, is how to say thank you. And not say thank you out of pay. They say if we don't say thank you now, it will not be complete prayer. Don't do nonsense prayer. Don't teach your children to pray like this. Bless this with the Lord for Christ's sake. That is rubbish prayer. That prayer is total nonsense. What do you concern Christ? Say you want chop. Bless it for Christ's sake. Jesus didn't pray like that. Don't pray like that. The Bible said they gave what? Thanks. It is thank you. You see, I do that. God sees my heart. I do it. Sometimes I pour a glass of water. This is Enugu. Rain falls. There are streams around. So water technically is not scarce. Do you get my point? Yet, if I get a glass of water in my house, sometimes every time I thank God for water, for food, I thank God. But there are times I actually set the water down and look at it. And spend like 1 minute talking about it. Lord, thank you for that glass. Thank you for that water. It is good. It's going to refresh in my system. Thank you for thirst has been destroyed. Thank you, because this water is going into my system. You sent the water. Rain is not God. There's no other God of rain apart from you. There's no other God of the stream apart from you. You are the one and only God. You are the one that brought the tanker. That is anything I do once in a while. Not often, but once in a while I remember, I put the water down and I do it. If you see me that time, you go look, say, this guy, the Chris. No. It's water. It's happened before that I'll buy biscuit. You know what I call biscuit? I don't mean Mac Vitis, digestive, hobnobs. I don't mean that. I mean Oki. Nasco cabin. You do get my point? Those ones that they used to sell for 5 naira. Maybe now the price has gone. Inflation may have caught up with them. But those things remain on 5 naira for a very long time. Do you know why? Because the Aboki was making a killing on them. So inflation was gone, but they were still making profit. Finally, I think it now broke through now. It's now 3 for 10, Abi. It's now 10 naira. Don't even know. But you know what I'm going to say? It's relatively cheap. Quite cheap. There are times I take one. Before I put it in the mouth, I look at it. I pause. Lord, thank you. No, and when I say it, I'm not kidding. I really thank him. Lord, thank you I have biscuits to eat. Thank you, Lord, I can chew it. I can swallow it. That is the vow of Christians. I hope you are getting my point. If you see a man that doesn't have what you have, don't look at. Don't mind him, he's too lazy. That's his problem. Speak like the Jews, that the Lord has not granted him. Are you getting my point? The Lord's reason is between the two of them. I hope you are getting my point. It's not like, you see, I told him that time we're reading, we're telling him to read, he was not reading, he was going to the parties. We're telling him, we said, write the application, he didn't write it. Okay, we said you should plant corn, that they didn't plant. Don't talk like that. Because when you say like that, you are claiming that your own food is because you did that. Say it's by my own power. You know the way the Lord taught the Israelites to talk? Fantastic tradition. They will say simply, the Lord has not granted him food to eat. The reason why the Lord didn't grant it is between the two of them. Some of them is because he's so ungrateful. The last time God gave him food to eat, he closed the door. He said, children, chop. Just they eat. Don't mind those people outside. You don't know how to farm. So the Lord said, is that so? Collect it. You're getting my principle? That is the vow of the believer. Make sure that all the time, all right, the vow of thanksgiving is on your mouth and is on your heart. Anything God does, make sure you thank him. Once you thank him, that's all he needs. That is all he needs. I hope you got to my point there. So back to what we're saying. So the Lord answers our prayers. You see those prayers in the scriptures. They were prayers the Lord prayed on our behalf. That's another way I can say it. Sitting in our stead. Uttering prayers to the Father. You are going through troubles. He takes you away, enters into the trouble and begins to pray. Have mercy upon me. Do not treat me according to what my deeds deserve. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. When he was praying those prayers, now you curse him. Now me curse him. Me and you, after we have done every evil in this world. Jesus said, this boy, I know he will do this thing one day. So he removed and knelt down there and said to the Lord, do not recompense me according to my deeds. And the Lord looks at him. Is it not this my son that's dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world? I will answer him. And when the Lord is finishing answering, he said, you, come and sit here. Kneel, put your knee in the same place where I was. Bow your head according to how I bowed it. And remain there, the answer will come to you. That is what they call identification. That is the principle of Christianity. Why we don't receive those answers is because we run away from there. We don't abide in faith. I hope you are getting my point. That's all God is asking for, faith. Sometimes Christians say that, oh, I promise God this, and they would, no. You are insulting the Lord Jesus, that Jesus, when you were praying, that day, you didn't know what to say. So God didn't answer you. So what I'm going to do now, is I will now do something for God to make him do something for me. Insult. We don't know how we insult him every day. Because we don't have understanding of what happened. If we did, we wouldn't say some of the things that we said. I hope you get my point there. So back to that example I was using. So you see, David says in verse 7, do not remember the sins of my youth of my transgression. That's Psalm 25. That's what I'm reading. He said, according to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Now, when David says this, it was not him that was speaking. These were the words that the Lord Jesus prayed while he was on earth. These were the words that the Lord Jesus is still praying now that he's still in the body of his flesh. He's still there. He still has a flesh. Do you get my point? He can still make intercession. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for everyone who draws near to God by him. So that's why God the Father will always answer him. He will always answer him. Because you are not the one praying. He is the one praying. So the answer comes to you. He's standing in your stead. So anytime you see prayers like this, just, if you're ever even going to repeat them, I'm not sure you should, but let's just think about it for a moment. Even if you're going to repeat them, it is with an attitude of, it has been answered. I hope you're getting my point. For example, you get as much results from this particular psalm as saying simply, the Lord will not remember the sins of my youth. He will not remember my transgressions. How do I know? The Lord Jesus had asked him for that, and I'm sure he's granted it. And that's what the Bible says, all the promises of God in him, they are what? Yes and amen. And that's how we get through him also we utter our yes and our amen. That's why I said last time, when people prayed that you see the apostles, when they prayed, we took the example, they just uttered the words that they found in the scriptures. So when you hear, why did he didn't rage? When you hear statements like that, they are things that the Lord Jesus has confirmed for us today. I hope you are getting my point. They are not things we are wishing for. They are not things we now settle down and try and persuade the Lord about. No. There are things that the Lord has heard, and there are things that the Lord has what? Granted. I hope you've gotten my point. So that's how we handle the book of Psalms. Know that they are the prayers that the Lord Jesus prayed and is praying on your behalf, and your own job is to go there and say what?
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Your job is to go there and say what?
It's
not loud enough. I'm not convinced you understand me.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen should be one of the most powerful prayers from the mouth of Christians. If I think there's something we should do. Let's rise to our feet. We are closing. Open your Bible, Psalm 25. That's one that, you know, there's something we want to do. That's what we want to do. Now, because we don't have all the time, all right? I'm going to do something. I'm just going to utter statements. What I want you to do is just shout amen. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
Open your Bibles, but I will do the reading. You will say amen. All right? Every line that ends, every verse, you understand? Just say amen. Today we have a new revelation. One of the most powerful prayers from the mouth of a Christian is the word what?
Amen.
Thank you. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. What do you say?
Amen.
In fact, you are in the spirit. You are in the spirit. All right. Do you, O Lord, I lift up my soul?
Amen.
Oh my God, I trust in you. I trust. Do not let me be ashamed, and do not let my enemies exult over me.
Amen.
Indeed, none of those who wait for you, Lord, will be ashamed.
Amen.
Only those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed.
Amen.
Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day.
Amen.
Let me just rearrange that one. You will make me know your ways, O Lord. You will teach me your paths. Give me an amen.
Amen.
I am being led in the path of truth, and the Lord is teaching me. Give me another amen.
Amen.
He is the God of my salvation, and for him I wait all day. He is a God of my, everybody please say, he's a God of my salvation.
He's a God of my salvation.
I wait for him all day.
Now
let's continue our amen. Remember, O Lord, your loving kindness and your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old.
Amen.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me, for your goodness sake, O Lord.
Amen.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
Amen.
He leads the humble in justice.
Amen.
It teaches the humble his way.
Amen.
Now, who is the humble here? Wave your hand if you are one of them. If you are a sinner whose sins have been forgiven, wave your hand. If you are being led in the way of the Lord, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's continue reading. You see, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Amen.
Amen.
For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Give me an amen.
Amen.
He said, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. That's a good place. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
He said, his soul will abide in prosperity. Say amen.
Amen.
His descendants will inherit the land.
Amen.
Now, I need to explain the word descendants there. The literal word there is seed. I'm using the New American Standard. That's the one that uses the word descendants. The literal word here is what?
Seed.
And you must understand, what he was talking about there is that anything that he brings forth. Listen, you know what you should do? You should go to the place of your business, your career, whatever it is, and say, my seed will inherit the land. It's a prayer the Lord has prayed for you. When he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. The Lord has prayed that prayer for you. When he says his seed will inherit the earth or the land, what he was saying simply is that anything that they bring forth will inherit the earth. It will conquer their territory. I hope you are getting my point. That's a powerful prayer. In fact, you should go and do a big sign, write it somewhere inside wherever you are walking. My seed will inherit the earth. And put an amen there. I don't know, why did he say amen? He said, the Lord is praying. Can't you hear it? The Lord is good?
Amen.
Now let's continue reading. He said, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make me, you, know his covenant.
Amen.
My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Amen.
The net refers to traps. You must understand that. That's what it's referring to. People set up traps for you. And it happens in life. You know, I tell Christians, you know, you don't worry yourself about enemies, people that don't like me. There are enough scriptures to use to answer those matters. So what they are plotting against, what if they are plotting against you? You say, wait, tune your ears. Can you hear it? So what are you hearing? I'm hearing Psalm 25, in which the Bible says, my eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of all the plans that people are planning for me. You tell the person, all I need to do is do what? Say,
amen.
Thank you. Let's continue praying. He said, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted.
Amen.
That is, God has turned to you, he has turned to me, and is gracious despite all our troubles. Give me an amen again.
Amen.
He said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, the Lord has answered this because Jesus uttered the same prayers on your behalf. I hope you are getting the point. And that's why we are saying amen to what God, what he prayed on our behalf, and which we know that the Lord has answered. He said, look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins.
Amen.
Look upon my enemies, for they are many. Now notice something, the way David prayed about this enemy matter. He said, and they hate me with violent hatred. Now, he now says, guard my, that is, despite them. You know, if it's our own, what are you waiting for? Enemies, die, die. David said, forget them. He said, guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you.
Amen.
He pointed out in verse 10 that look at my enemies, they are plenty. Those who hate me, they are plenty. He said, see them, but what you will do for me, Lord, is you will guard my soul and you will deliver me. You will not let me be ashamed because I take refuge in you. Give me amen again. He said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you.
Amen.
Let me explain what that means briefly. What David was saying is that, you know the way it is, you are in a place, especially those of us who may walk in where there's a lot of people want to, you know, pull him down so I can go up, that kind of thing. I've had a personal experience with this before, you know. People want to run you down so as to build themselves up. They do that. But how the Lord helped me was that he didn't even allow me to be aware. And he fought my battles by himself. Now, what people often do is this. When you hear that people are conspiring against you, some people will now come and form another conspiracy against the conspiracy. Do you get the principle there? Conspiracy against conspiracy. Say, look, of course, like, I like to say this so that when you hear them, you'll be allergic to them. So when I say, You are sleeping. Your enemies are not sleeping. Then whoever tells you that, say, you know the reason why my enemy is not sleeping? The Lord has not given him sleep. Because it is written, there is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. That is it. So I must never join him in not sleeping. Each man has his own job. It's true. My own scripture, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. If I don't sleep, I'm saying God is not making me dwell in safety. Many people, their problems in life, they don't sleep. Even Jesus respected the time for sleep. You know, when the storm was coming to, going to start, you know what Jesus did? He went to sleep. You know why? He said, if I'm asleep, I'll dwell in safety. All these apostles that will not sleep, they were the ones that were saying, don't you care that we'll perish? You know why he calmed the storm? To calm their fears. Because if he didn't calm the storm, those boys, their fears would drown the boat. No, think if he was alone on that boat, he wouldn't wake up. You know, respect day now. Respect day. Storm doesn't drown everybody. They select when they want to drown. You look at who do we drown? Say, look at that guy, drown him. That one, drown him. That one, you're looking for trouble. Don't touch him, bro. That's how this thing works. That is the word of God I've just told you. So people like to now start conspiring against conspiracy. David said, no. I will not do that. Somebody lied against you, you will not lie against him back. They are backbiting against you, you now go and join their own, you bite them every corner. David said, no, we don't do that. Jesus said, no, we don't do that. He said, no matter what is going on, in the midst of all the conspiracies, in the midst of those so-called enemies, integrity and uprightness is our portion.
Amen.
And that is how we are preserved.
Amen.
I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Listen, one of our brothers, they were in big church. They were recording each other. Are you getting my point? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. They will have pastors meeting. Some pastors will come with microphone in their pocket. So they can go and tell the big ogre what some other people are saying. Say, look, is it that our bishop? We shouldn't allow him to go away with things like that. The man saying it is recording him. You just say, hey, don't mind him. He's the only anointed one. Say it again. He's not the only anointed one. Let me hear it again. He's not the only anointed one. Do you agree with Deacon Alfred? Deacon Alfred is a man of truth. Say what he said. Let me hear you so I know you are with us. That our Bishop Najaguda. The man doing all of this is recording. You know? When you finish, now come carry the thing. Good afternoon, sir. I told you your deacons are not human beings. One of our brothers was in a setting like that. People were recording themselves. So another man, he being a man of truth. One deacon there looked at him and pitied him. And came and said, oh, Pastor, come. Don't mind them. Let me help you. Here is your own recording device. I'm not kidding. He gave him a wristwatch that will capture your face and capture your voice. He said, don't worry, I sell these things. I dash you. You are my man of God. And the man who gave it to him was pitying him. He was not a bad man. He just said, why are these people wicked? They will call each other. Hello, Pastor ABC. Yes, the man don't press record for his phone. Is it true that this happened? That one will say, no, now. He said, good. He will hang the phone. You go and say, oh, guy, I told you I didn't do it. Let me prove it. That pastor said no. You record. Ah! Conspiracy. I didn't know human beings. Churcho, this was Churcho. This was Churcho. Churcho. This was not a market association, no. Not NLC. Oh, definitely not an NPC. Church. And that man came and said, you know what? I will solve your problem. Here are your own recording devices. He gave him wristwatch. He gave him phone. What they call it? Sunglasses. So next time you go for a meeting, you too. Suddenly you are now wearing glasses. Just go in there. Just film their faces. That when Bishop sees it, he will know who the enemies are. But you know what David said? Forget those conspiracies. Forget their gatherings. He said, for me, integrity and uprightness will preserve me.
Amen.
Let me tell you what Jesus is saying about you. Integrity will preserve you.
Amen.
Uprightness will preserve you.
Amen.
When people are conspiring, you refuse to conspire. You stick with integrity, stick with uprightness, and you'll be preserved in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because God is the one you are waiting for. Listen to me. You will be preserved.
Amen.
Give me another amen.
Amen.
You know what David now said? The Lord was now praying. He said, redeem the whole church of God. He said, redeem Israel, O God, from all his troubles.
Amen.
I want somebody to declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The church of God in this nation.
The church of God in this nation.
Will be redeemed from all her troubles. Let's say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All the troubles.
All the troubles.
That plague the church of God.
That plague the church of God.
She is redeemed from them. The troubles of wrong doctrines,
the troubles of wrong doctrines
and the troubles of divisions.
And the troubles of
divisions. Said, be redeemed.
Be redeemed.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's give Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, thank you because all my prayers were said by the Lord Jesus. Anytime I'm praying, I'm just saying amen. Say, all my prayers were said by the Lord Jesus. Anytime I'm praying, all I'm doing is saying amen. See, all the prayers, all my requests have been made by the Lord Jesus. And anytime I'm praying, all I'm doing is saying amen. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you will never, never, never refuse to answer my prayers while the Lord Jesus has prayed them. Say, Lord, thank you for deliverance. Say it again. Say, thank you, Lord, because my sins have been forgiven. Thank you because all the curses have been broken away from my life. Thank you because I've been set free to serve him. I've been set free, Lord, to serve you. I've been set free to serve you. Say, Lord, thank you because I've been set free to serve you. Declare it again, freedom is my portion. Freedom is my portion. Freedom is my portion. In Christ Jesus, I've been set free. My soul has escaped. My soul has escaped from every snare, every trap, everything that is holding me back. My soul has escaped. From every snare, from every trap, everything that is holding me back, my soul has escaped. Say, Lord, thank you. I have escaped. Lord, thank you. I have escaped. I have broken free from every bondage, from every sickness, for everything that makes one be backward in life. Oh, say, Lord, I have broken free. Say, Lord, I've broken free from blindness. My eyes are open. Lord, thank you. I have broken free. I've been free from the net of blindness. Because when people don't see clearly, you'll be amazed. They are in bondage. Say, Lord, I see the truth. I see the truth. I see the truth. I see the truth. Say, Lord, thank you. Please, as I close, I just want to do something. Can you just put your hands on your head? Either one hand or both, whichever one. I want to just pray. I want you to say amen. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
Every affliction that is in you, anywhere from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, because Jesus has paid to set you free, I command them to disappear now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare to you again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Because Jesus has already banished evil by the power of his blood, I say to you again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Health is your portion.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Amen.
Listen, there is nothing called incurable. Incurable is for the human physician. But God said, I am the Lord that healed thee. Therefore, even if it's called incurable, you are well now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sickness is banished from your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God radiates through you now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just wave both hands again and just say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season.